Good morning. It is Tuesday, March 12th, and this is the CUC committee. I'm J.P. Matzekite, chair. To my right is Councilmember Smith, and to her right is Councilmember Shook. We had a few folks who are under the weather this morning, but we are expecting a quorum, so we're going to go ahead and get started with some items, and then when we have a quorum, we'll jump to business. So I want to go ahead and there are two things that we can do. One is a presentation of the Department of Public Works for their quarterly update. Commissioner, would you like to start us off, please?
Okay, good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. This morning, we're going to share with you the accomplishments within the department over the past quarter. Most importantly, what we hope to do is to convey the dedication and professionalism demonstrated by the employees who continue to provide the highest levels of service possible with the resources that we have available to us. Our goal is to continue this trend and to regain yours and the trust of our residents. This is the roadmap of the areas we're going to highlight today. They include the Office of Solid Waste, the Office of Transportation, our Safety Division, the Office of Fleet Services, Fiscal Management, our Strategic Initiative, Emergency Preparedness, Community Engagement, and Human Resources. The Office of Solid Waste has launched several key initiatives, including continued enhancement of the route optimization, the equipment replacement plan, and they've increased staffing. In addition, the concerted cleanup and delittering efforts put forth by our solid waste team before, during, and after the Super Bowl are to be commended. Our solid waste services crews service over 98,000 homes weekly for three services: recycling, garbage, and yard trimmings. In the second quarter of fiscal year 2019, we collected over 32,000 tons of household waste and debris. We removed over 9,000 tires from the city's right-of-way and dump sites. We swept nearly 6,000 miles of right-of-way, and our enhanced services program, including street cleaning and right-of-way mowing, will include the acquisition of five new crews immediately, targeting April 1, 2019. July 21, 2019, DPW will continue to onboard the remaining crews needed to phase in the enhanced services as identified in Ordinance 18-0-1300. These services will become fully engaged as we complete acquisition of equipment, staffing, and training for right-of-way mowing 2 times per month for commercial tier customers, for commercial tier 1 customers, and once per month for commercial tier 2 customers. Street sweeping 2 times per week for commercial Tier 1 customers and once per week for Tier 2. Litter basket collection once per day for commercial Tier 1 and twice per day per week for Tier 2. Vacant lots will also receive yard trimming collection bi-monthly, bulk collection 12 times per month per year, and right-of-way mowing 4 times per year and street sweeping 3 times per year. Also, multifamily units will receive bulk collection 12 times per year, and street sweeping 3 times per year, and litter basket collections 2 times per week. Some of our key accomplishments from last quarter include the route optimization changes, contributing to a more balanced workload amongst internal crews and thereby reducing the average distance needed to be traveled per route. This has allowed for new routes to be sequenced anytime new stops are added. As we look to the future, we plan to continue with our hiring blitz as well as enhancing the skill and professional development of our current staff. We're excited to have this route optimization and the use and the introduction of side loaders. We're identifying the areas in which the side loaders will be utilized, and we're also cross-training our employees. On January 7, 2019, the City of Atlanta City Council voted to adopt Ordinance 18-0-1322, regulating the operations of shareable dockless mobility devices. On January 31, 2019, DPW's Solid Waste Education and Enforcement Team started enforcing City of Atlanta Municipal Code 150-404 as it relates to the parking of the shareable dockless mobility devices. The Department of Public Works will enforce appropriate parking of all devices. They will monitor the sidewalks and streets and remove devices as necessary. There are currently 15 devices that are in storage. DPW's SWEET team will be administering a fee process for devices that are impounded and stored at our facility. During Super Bowl 53 weekend, January 31 through February 4th, our SWEET officers confiscated 345 scooters. 163 were retrieved by the owners and permitted companies. Keep Atlanta Beautiful Commission manages recycling and litter prevention efforts. This infographic is a snapshot of the second quarter fiscal year 2019 accomplishments. Curbside recycling tonnage increased by 14%. We diverted 20,000 pounds of electronics and textiles from the landfill through our Atlanta Recycles Day, which is held the third Saturday of each month at Greenbrier Mall. The department supported neighborhood cleanups and the Adopt a Spot program by providing cleanup supplies and logistical support. The volunteer efforts have resulted in delittering of 27 miles of city streets with over 400 volunteers and participants. In addition, 45 public spaces were improved. 17,300 pounds of trash and debris were collected, and 1,300 volunteer hours were contributed. Solid Waste Services collects scrap tires via three categories: roadside, dump site, and amnesty collection. This is a review of our scrap tire abatement efforts throughout calendar year 2018. There was a 20% roadside collection decrease, which is attributed to enforcement, education, and drop-off options. We have a pending Georgia EPD reimbursement grant for tire disposal costs associated with roadside collection. Dump site abatement consists primarily of APD, clean and close of vacant properties. Clean and closed properties have trash and debris removed from the interior and exterior, grass is cut, and the structure is secured using plywood or some other form of metal material. This method is used when property does not meet demolition criteria. These are highly blighted and or abandoned properties that are under APD code enforcement purview. Our department assists when there are tires present, seeking Georgia EPD reimbursement grants to cover tire disposal costs. The final category is amnesty collection. We host a semi-annual scrap tire drive offering free tire disposal for City of Atlanta residents. DPW began the implementation of our route optimization process last June. We had issues with our solid waste trucks last July and August, and we made adjustments to the process throughout fiscal year 2019. And we have since begun to normalize the operation. We've also received new equipment. We have a robust communications and outreach plan to reach the 98,000 households we serve, informing them of the April 1 changes to our solid waste bulk collection. We are utilizing both traditional and digital media to reach our audiences and stakeholders. We began our communication efforts in January using social media. We began speaking at NPUs in February, and our weekly Notify ATL robocalls and texts began March 8th. We will send a reminder via Notify ATL the remaining Fridays in March. Our initial messaging through April 1 informs the public that change is coming. Beginning April 1, they will have to schedule bulk pickups at least one business day in advance. After April 1, the messaging will transition to changes here, and we'll continue to remind residents indefinitely of the need to schedule their bulk collections. Our one-to-one community engagement includes outreach at four MARTA stations: Five Points, Vine City, Lindbergh, and the Midtown stations. In addition, we are speaking directly with seniors at the C.T. Martin Recreation Center and other City of Atlanta recreation centers. Information is also available at the Mayor's Town Hall meetings and at Renew Atlanta public meetings. We're also working to hang a magnet on all bins informing the public of the scheduled bulk changes and of any changes to the 2019 solid waste collection schedule holiday, including the holiday schedule. And those magnets will look something along these lines, and we will be able to provide this to you. I'll send it to you so that you can see what it looks like. Our responsiveness to transportation issues and concerns has improved tremendously, as can be attested to by the numerous requests we are now receiving. Equally important is the involvement and feedback being provided by every member of the Transportation Division to assist the administration in assessing the need for a Department of Transportation. We're enthusiastically engaging this effort, and the team truly appreciates the efforts of the administration to include the transportation personnel as we undertake this effort. The team is engaged and looking forward to the outcome. During the second quarter, DPW completed 13,698 linear feet of sidewalk repairs in all council districts. Also, we also completed 3,237 pothole repairs. We completed streetlight repairs along Camp Creek Parkway and Camelton Road. The Deputy Chief Operating Officer, Joshua Williams, requested a scheduled assessment of all city streetlights within the city to ensure we are monitoring the condition of the lights, poles, and appurtenances. We're also in discussion with Georgia Power to have those lights maintained by them assessed on a periodic basis. During the second quarter of fiscal year 2019, 3,237 potholes were repaired, and this is down from 7,573 in quarter one. This was due primarily to inclement weather during the latter part of the year. As of March 11th, 2,058 potholes have been repaired in calendar year 2019. We've averaged 4,262 pothole repairs per quarter. The potholes we repaired that are being repaired again, or repeat repairs, were likely filled with coal mix. We use coal mix when hot mix is not available, which is typically on cold and rainy days, when temperatures fall below 40 degrees Fahrenheit or the asphalt plants close for mechanical failure or maintenance. When repairs are made under less than ideal conditions, such as rain and freezing temperatures, variables such as traffic, volume, and vehicle weight can lead to accelerated deterioration of the repair. We repair these requests with coal mix to address any immediate safety concerns, with the intention to repair with hot mix as conditions improve. In addition, thermal expansion of the various types of materials plays a significant role in the recurrence of potholes, as well as especially considering the weather patterns of late. When the temperature rises with increased rain activity and immediately after the rain, the temperature drops, as experienced last week. When the water is trapped in the cracks, it expands as it approaches freezing, thus loosening the material that is currently in place. This cycle can repeat itself multiple times during the winter season. Our solution to addressing this situation is to execute point repairs at those locations where failures have occurred due to the condition of the roadway and other associated factors. The street condition assessment has been delayed due to the increased rain activity experienced this winter. Contract forces have indicated that these types of projects have been delayed due to that factor, but with favorable weather conditions, the street condition assessment can be completed within the next 8 weeks, with post-processing immediately following. The preliminary data findings can be forwarded within the June to July timeframe. We have three pothole maintenance crews currently. Two crews are assigned to the AM shift, which runs from 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m., and one crew is assigned to the PM shift, which runs from 3 p.m. to 11:30 p.m. We are filling vacancies to expand the pothole operation to a total of 7 crews. For fiscal year 2019, of the period July 1, 2018 through March 11, 2019, a total of 12,868 potholes have been completed. During fiscal year 2018, the period July 1, 2017 through March 30, 2018, we only completed 2,222 potholes. This increase is attributed to additional crews being added to the pothole operation on the second and third shifts. DPW also began repairing potholes proactively daily. And what that refers to is when we actually go out to conduct repairs at a service request, if there are any potholes that are in that immediate vicinity within a 15 or 20 foot radius, we repair those also. We now have one asphalt point repair crew, and we are proposing to create positions to add an additional 3-point repair crews. And point repair crews are those crews that actually, when we have conditions where we have multiple potholes in one area, and it's obvious that a pothole repair is going to fail, we actually go in and cut out a section of the street and go as deep in some instances as 6 inches so that we can ensure that we get a good seal on that particular area. And we did, for example, we did 10 on Marietta Street that were 10 feet wide and the entire distance across the street. Six new pothole trucks have been purchased, and we received 3 of those trucks in March 2019. The remaining 3 are expected to arrive in April of 2019. We are looking at the possibility of testing new equipment in fiscal years 2020 and 2021. Currently, there are one-man units on the market that can that have the capability of completing up to 50 repairs per day. Our current units repair on average 15 repairs per day per unit. Our next area is on the focus is on safety. As reflected in the mission statement, DPW's safety division conducts our safety and health programs to find, recommend corrective actions, and eliminate unsafe working conditions. Safety is our number one priority within the department. We currently offer specific training in the areas of commercial driver's training, flagger training, defensive driver course, and general safety training. Quarterly commercial driver's training consisted of 47 City of Atlanta employees. These employees were representatives from the Department of Watershed Management, the Office of Fleet Services, Transportation, and Solid Waste Services. Our safety division sends our weekly safety moments via email throughout the Department of Public Works to inspire all employees to maintain safety awareness. There were 6 preventable accidents that occurred last quarter. Head and back injuries were the most common incidents reported. Quarter to quarter, we've decreased from 32 preventable accidents last quarter down to 28 this quarter. You'll recall that during the week prior to Super Bowl 53, we activated our snow and ice operation with over 115 personnel. During this operation, we had no preventable or non-preventable accidents with over 37 pieces of equipment operating during the entire 96-hour period. Our safety team is working to translate this success into our daily operation in an effort to further reduce accidents throughout the department. Fleet services continues to be a highly integral and key component of the success of our operations. As is typical, during the mobilization of the city's forces in preparation for and during Super Bowl 53, the Fleet Services Division deployed alongside the frontline units to ensure every piece of equipment needed during this event was operational and encountered limited downtime when these events occurred. Their services to the facilities to refuel generators and to ensure fueling stations were operational were key to the success of our entire city's readiness. During the snow and ice operation, Fleet Services ensured that every piece of equipment required was on station and remained on station throughout the duration of the deployment. This was a first in the city's snow and ice operation. Fleet Services was selected as a 2018 Best Fleet recipient with 176 full-time exempt positions to support 5,711 vehicles and over 22 refueling sites throughout the city. The city fleet, vehicle purchases, and auction sales have slightly increased during quarter two. Fleet Services consistently explores innovative strategies to improve overall efficiencies to reduce operating costs. Our repair parts consignment is now fully implemented, and cost savings should be attained in fiscal year 2020. Plans for a citywide truck and car wash are in the preliminary phase of implementation. Keeping our equipment clean and presentable speaks to the pride we have in being a part of the city's organization and in doing a good job for our residents and businesses. These projects are part of the improvement and enhancement strategies to improve the fleet's operational readiness. With our expectation of new solid waste vehicles, we anticipate 20 additional vehicles by mid-April 2019 to include 15 25 cubic yard rear loaders and 5 7 to 10 cubic yard mini rear loaders. Within the past year, a total of 49 rear loaders have been replaced, and we've implemented a 5-year vehicle replacement plan that has been reconstituted to replace Solid Waste Services vehicles. Solid Waste Services will also add split body rear loader units to their fleet to increase operating efficiency. Additionally, as part of the enhanced services operation, DPW will begin acquiring 23 sweepers, 26 pickup trucks, 23 new trailers, a host of weed eaters, blowers, pole saws, walk behind mowers, and safety cones. We have the specific counts, and we can provide that information for you at your desire. We are training drivers for the deployment of our new 25 cubic yard automated side loaders. Once we've identified routes for the side loaders, we will begin communicating these changes to residents via direct mailers, attendance at neighborhood meetings, and targeted social media. Our major fleet goals for fleet readiness are preventative maintenance compliance and emissions compliance. Both are above the compliance target, with both areas exceeding the goal of 94%. In our fiscal management area in FY 2019, the overages that are seen or observed here in the next slide are due to the purchase of 20 replacement rear loaders, the rental of 8 new rear loaders, and capital lease financing for an additional 8 rear loaders. There was also a price increase to $34 per ton for yard debris processing and a $1.65 unit price increase for bin purchases. We are currently working on the fiscal year 2020 budget for solid waste and will provide an update in the forthcoming CUC meeting. In an effort to ensure many of the temporary improvements we've made continue and to provide a roadmap for ongoing improvement, the department is currently undertaking our strategic initiative to develop our 5-year strategic plan. Our goal is to align our initiatives with the mayor's 5 strategic initiatives and to define those immediate, mid-range, and long-term goals, which will drive a continuous improvement environment with measurable, achievable action items, which will be monitored by the Mayor's Office of Innovative Delivery and Performance and be posted on the department's website as part of our dashboard alongside citywide priorities defined by the mayor. As you can see, we've already begun our process. In January, we began our review of department projects by aligning them with the mayor's 5 strategic initiatives. In February, we then began discussing with our teams throughout the department to inform them of our desire to have them participate in the way forward for the department. We engaged our frontline personnel by having them participate in focus groups to share their thoughts and concerns regarding where the department was, as well as what they thought would help us to do a better job. Last week, the leadership team took the concerns shared by the frontline teams and began our visioning process to start the forming of expectations and behaviors at all levels within the department. From this effort, we anticipate additional strategy briefs and risk mitigation discussions between the leadership and frontline team members to formalize activities and processes which will facilitate the achievement of the department's strategic priorities. These will be monitored at every level by the established scheduled check-ins to ensure we are following the plans we committed to as a team, and this will be part of creating our operational rhythm. Nowhere were the efforts of the emergency preparedness more self-apparent than in the city's preparation for Super Bowl 53. I'd like to take the time here to publicly recognize Mrs. Kimberly Mallard, our emergency preparedness manager, and her emergency preparedness coordinator, Mrs. Kelly Brokenberg. For nearly an entire year and through the event, these two team members worked tirelessly with our partners at APD, AFRD, DOC, GDOT, GWCC, and other partners to ensure a well-coordinated response in the event of winter weather and in preparation for the Super Bowl. Along with our solid waste and transportation divisions led by Ms. Gayla Dodson and Mrs. Cortina Alexander, their efforts were critical to the development of the Super Bowl 53 winter weather preparation, as well as the maintenance and upkeep of the city streets during the Super Bowl event. During Super Bowl 53, 93 team members from Solid Waste Division collected over 139 tons of debris, ensured the city streets and the high traffic areas were swept nightly, collected over 300 dockless mobility vehicles that were improperly parked within the city's rights of way for the 10-day period with no accidents. We also provided support to two emergency operations centers. As part of our emergency preparedness initiative, we've entered into an MOU with Emory University to increase our salt storage capacity and allow for future collaborations. Emergency preparedness also coordinated two DPW dry runs for snow and ice operations, where over 300 employees participated to test our operational readiness, strengths, and areas of improvement. We believe this effort was critical to the success of our pre-Super Bowl 53 deployment. Our community engagement and outreach efforts were performed in various ways, including having our DPW ambassadors consistently present at NPU meetings. Our ambassadors consist of DPW leadership, communications, and operations team members. They regularly attend community meetings, provide departmental updates, and receive feedback and concerns from constituents. They also provide follow-up, including the submission of service requests when applicable to those concerns and issues. Ride-alongs can be scheduled by neighborhoods within the NPU or by DPW staff. The purpose is to canvass communities for transportation or solid waste-related concerns. Community groups and schools have contacted DPW and requested we speak at engagements with their audiences on how DPW serves the city of Atlanta. DPW is our workforce. Our frontline teams are among the best the city has to offer. We pride ourselves in our ability to train them, properly equip them, and provide them leadership as they carry out their daily activities. During this quarter, there are a total of 56 total positions in the Office of the Commissioner, of which 45 are filled. In solid waste, we have 460 total positions, of which 397 are currently filled. In fleet, we have a total of 178 total positions, of which 149 are filled. And in the Office of Transportation, we have 321 total positions, of which 251 are currently filled. Our current challenges, Human Resources is currently working with us to ensure all employees are trained on the ATL cloud, and we're partnering with AIM to ensure all employees have email addresses to access the Oracle Cloud. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this concludes our report. I'll take any questions you have.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. I wanted to acknowledge that we've been joined by Councilmember Bond to my far right. So questions, comments from the committee? Great. I did have just a couple, and we'll go through this quickly. And I just wanted to confirm that the new services that you talked about that were going into effect April 1.
Yes.
So all of the new services that were promised are going to happen April 1. Is that correct?
We're going to start phasing in those services. Mr. Chair, what we'll have to do is because we didn't have the funding, we're going to have to bring on board the personnel as well as the equipment. So we'll begin that process effective April 1.
And what will that phase-in look like?
The phase-in will start with, we will bring on the first five crews of our right-of-way maintenance along with the supervisors, and we will acquire all of the equipment that we will need for all of the services that we have identified as part of the new enhanced services. And effective by July 1 of 2019, we will begin bringing on the rest of the personnel so that we can ramp up to get to a full force.
And when will the new services fully be delivered?
Well, we will start by July 1. We should be in a place where we will be able to actually deliver those services. As our personnel come on board, we'll have the equipment, we will have conducted the training, and we should be in a place where we'll be able to provide those services.
Great. One other question. I love the chart that showed about the solid waste and the progress that you're making there on the residential side in terms of those that are missed. Do you have an SLA there? What would that be?
We do. Our SLA is 99.90%, and we're currently hovering at 99.96%.
Okay, great. Thank you. One other request, if you can come back at your next update meeting and present a plan on the maintenance of the vehicles. I was struck by the roadway maintenance vehicles. The average age is 13 years, and what you said, the useful life was 7 years. So am I correct in saying that our vehicles are about twice as old as their useful life?
Close, yes, sir.
So I'd love for you to come back to this committee with a plan for, you said you had a five-year maintenance replacement plan for solid waste.
Right.
I'd love for you to do that and come back and present it to this committee for the roadway maintenance as well. And Santana, if you can note that, please. I think that was it. Anybody? Mr. Bond?
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Commissioner, for this great report. Just like to ask, what are the updates in the talks with the GAP-GAP?
Regarding the disposal, those talks are ongoing, Council Member. As we shared with you, they have a need, we have a need, and we're working to try to figure out how best to approach both of those.
How soon do you think it'll be before some talks are concluded or something substantial comes out of it?
I can't give you a definitive answer on that. We're still having a conversation, and at last recall, when we left the meeting, it was going to be an ongoing conversation, and I have not had an update from that meeting.
Can you bring us an update at the next committee meeting so that we can know? I know when I spoke to the CEO back in October, he was very anxious to do business with the city.
Yes, sir. We can do that.
All right, thank you.
One other request. Love it that you're doing the strategic plan, and it's great to see, and I think we're seeing the progress that you're making along that. I'd love for, at the appropriate time, before it's baked, for you to come back and present it to this committee so that we could understand what your strategic plan is and be sure that this committee has input into that. So if we could put that on the list for you to come back and present, that'd be great. Anything else? Great. Thank you very much, Commissioner.
You're welcome.
been given a reminder that we need to officially call this meeting to order, and we had a quorum at 10:02 when I acknowledged Mr. Bond. So for the record, the meeting is in order. We'll go back to the agenda and start at the top, which is adoption of the agenda. I'd like to make a motion to adopt the agenda. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The ayes have it. Also a motion to...
Second.
Yep, we have a motion and a second to approve the minutes. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The ayes have it. All right, next on the agenda are public comments pertaining to items on the agenda. You'll have 3 minutes, and there is one individual who is signed up to speak. Brother Muhammad.
I got my dad's name. I put it on there. Mayor Hotep, I am that I am, an ancient Monophysite Coptic priest believer. Why do I believe? I know. I don't believe. I know I'm here today for the continuation to monitor level service and financial efficiency of salary services to ensure they meet the benchmark they set in the summer fall of 2018. I'm here to talk about how we prioritize things for the benefit of the watershed management. But Miss Shirley Franklin, Miss Keisha Lance Bottle, and of course Mr. Reed, these persons told me that they would be able to work with our sewer system. These people said, Brother Muhammad, first we got to use the quality of life money to fix your street. Miss Katrina Parker Taylor said, once we finish the street, along with Mr. Martin and other council people, we'd be able to go ahead and get that done. I recently told you about Mr. Jackson, work that they're doing in my community. I have a street repaved in 2010. They told me they paved a road from Button Road to Camerton Road in 2011. It got more bad conditions than what I have. Mine was in 10, but it wasn't paved in 2011, about 3 years ago. But what I'm calling on Miss Keisha Lance Bottom is lying, Brother Bond. Why is it that you want to lie to your constituency of Atlanta that look like me? I go to Concerned Clergy. You know about the place. We got a mission statement. And that mission statement makes it very clear. We have a voice for the voiceless. We have a voice for the homeless. We have a voice for those who don't have a voice of themselves. And I come down here to make that voice known. And I call on my ancestors before I come. I call on ancestors that stand, Miss Keisha Lance Bottom. You got a Charlotte Jackson, your representative. They knew me before they got this hard position. But now they get in your position, I don't want to speak to anyone else longer than Brother Muhammad. Fine, I don't really care. The ancestor, Mr. Bond, no, I come down to try to get something that was said by administration in our community. And these administrations happen to look like you, Mr. Jackson, and they continue to lie to me. Why? You always talk about the Caucasian line. Talk about the 1866 lies of the government. Then you had the lies that you said you're going to do in 1857. And then I come down here and be told for the last 12 years, yes, we're going to do it, but every time you get a new administration, you put another new manager of these departments, transportation. You put them in every department that has something to deal with poor people. And y'all just come here and go along and get along. Why? Come out and look at that street, Mr. Massenkite. Is that too much to ask of you to see what he's saying we got to deal with? And I'll take it up with Mr. Dixon. But again, sir, you told me you're going to be able to have a heart. Mayor Hotel.
All right, that brings us to ordinances for first read. There is one ordinance, 19-0-1143. We have a motion to accept and a second. Do you want to read that in?
It's an ordinance by City Utilities Committee authorizing the Chief Financial Officer to amend the FY 2019 Water and Wastewater Renewal and Extension Fund budget in the amount of $20,321,503.00 to transfer funds from the Watershed Reserve for Appropriations and add funds to the Water Supply Program project and for other purposes.
Please prepare the vote.
Vote is open. The vote is closed. 4 yeas, 0 nays. This has been accepted.
All right, next are communications. First is 19C0039.
Communication from Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms appointing Mr. James Jackson to serve as Commissioner of Public Works for the City of Atlanta.
We have a motion to approve and a proper second. Mr. Jackson.
Good morning again, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Thank you for this opportunity. I am so thankful that the mayor has chosen me to lead this organization. I've been here with you all since April of last year and have gotten to know my team. And they are a phenomenal bunch of people. They want to do a great job for the city. And with the mayor having given me this opportunity, I'm looking forward to having an opportunity to come around and have conversations with you all, talk about what it is that we're doing, as well as continuing to learn them and move this organization into the wind, so to speak, so that we can get the job done that you've tasked us with.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. We appreciate what you're doing and see, you know, some improvements going on each time. So that's great. If you'll please prepare the vote.
Vote is closed, 4 yeas, 0 nays. This communication has been accepted.
Congratulations.
Would you take opposition to the public?
Excuse me. Congratulations, Commissioner. We're not in public comment now. If you could please be seated. All right, next item on the agenda is ordinances for second read. First is 19-011-18. If you could please read that in.
An ordinance by Councilmember Michael Julian Bund authorizing the mayor on behalf of the City of Atlanta to grant and enter into an easement agreement between the City of Atlanta and Clark Atlanta University for the purpose of installing a historic mark on the campus to commemorate the Atlanta student movement and for other purposes.
Mr. Bond, would you care to speak to this?
Yes, I had a meeting with the law department this morning. We need to hold this for one cycle. Make the motion to hold.
We have a motion to hold and a second.
Vote is open. The vote is closed. 4 yeas, 0 nays. This item is held.
Next item is 19R3292.
A resolution by Councilmember Andre L. Boone authorizing the mayor her designee on behalf of the City of Atlanta to accept funding from the Georgia Environmental Finance Authority for improvements to the water supply program in the amount of $25,000,000 and for other purposes.
Mr. Beccaro.
Good morning. Rob Beccaro, Department of Watershed Management. This legislation relates, you'll recognize it because last year council had approved legislation for a $45 million loan with GFA. What has happened subsequently is that GFA has changed their regulations and their requirements such that they can only approve loans of up to $25 million. So we're coming back to council to get permission for the first $25 million of the loan. The other aspect as well, this is, again, for the water supply program. This loan is for the Chattahoochee River intake pump station that covers that. Also, in terms of the interest rate was at closing is 2.25%, which is the final amount. And then we will be coming back to council to request authorization for the remainder for the second part of the loan of $20 million in the next cycle for GFA.
Thank you, Mr. Beccaro. Motion to approve.
Second.
We have a second. Please prepare the vote.
Vote is open. The vote is closed, 4 yeas, 0 nays. This item is favorable.
Great. I'd like to take the next three as a block. It's certainly.
Okay. So I'm curious. Some of us were around when we started all of this with GFA, and the relationship at the beginning was incredibly rocky, and the state was very skeptical about the city's commitment and thus required a ton of meetings and a ton of, you know, documentation How would you characterize relationships today?
Mohammed Bala, Department of Watershed Management. I'm happy to say that the relationship with GFA has significantly improved over the years. When I first got to the department, we were actually on a quarterly reporting period back to GFA on how we were progressing with our programs and our GFA loans. We had, unfortunately at the time, tied up some capital, and it felt like it could have been used in other places. But over the last 2 to 3 years, we have really started moving that relationship forward. GFA has essentially given us a soft commitment of $50 million a year to do watershed projects. Our relationship has been just magnificent and stronger than ever right now.
Still quarterly?
No, we actually don't have to even give those quarterly updates anymore to GFA. They're happy with how things are progressing, and so they lifted that commitment about 3 years ago.
It's great. Thank you.
Great. Next three. Commissioner?
I just wanted to note that the last project that we closed out, the R.M. Clayton Headworks project, we came in ahead of schedule and under budget, and that was GFA funded. So that the performance of our team, and it's won several awards, that project has helped us to repair the relationship.
Wonderful. Thank you. I'd like to take the next three items as a block. It's 19R, 3297, 3298, and 3299. If you could please read those in.
A resolution by City Utilities Committee authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding and contract item agreement with the State of Georgia Department of Transportation on behalf of the Department of Watershed Management to relocate and or adjust water valve boxes, sanitary sewer manholes, and other related facilities in conjunction with the State of Georgia Department of Transportation project number listed, State Route 10 Freedom Parkway from I-75-85 to State Route 8 Ponce de Leon Avenue in Fulton County, Georgia, in an amount not to exceed $34,327.80. All contract award will be charged and paid from the fund department organization and account numbers listed and for the purposes. A resolution by City Utilities Committee authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding and contract item agreement with the State of Georgia Department of Transportation on behalf of the Department of Watershed Management to relocate and or adjust water valve boxes, sanitary sewer manholes, and other related facilities in conjunction with the State of Georgia Department of Transportation project number listed, State Route 237 Piedmont Road from State Route 141 Peachtree Road to State Route 9 Roswell Road in Fulton County, Georgia, in an amount not to exceed $205,497.00. All contracted work will be charged and paid from the fund department of organization and account numbers listed. And a resolution by City Utilities Committee authorizing the mayor to enter into a memorandum of understanding and contract item agreement with the State of Georgia Department of Transportation on behalf of the Department of Watershed Management to relocate and or adjust water valve boxes, sanitary sewer manholes, and other water-related facilities in conjunction with the State of Georgia Department of Transportation project number listed, State Route 280 James Jackson Parkway from State Route 139 MLK Drive to Cobb County Line in Fulton County, Georgia, in an amount not to exceed $256,095.00. All contracted work to be charged and paid from the fund, department, organization, and account number listed.
Mr. Beccaro.
The three pieces of legislation relate to memoranda of understanding between the city and GDOT. All three projects are street milling and resurfacing projects. So I think the first one, that Freedom Park, is Freedom Parkway from I-75 to Ponce de Leon Avenue, where we've got sort of four manholes and three water valves that are in conflict with the project that need to be relocated. So I think the other two are fairly similar. I can the 19R3298, that relates to a project from, again, a remilling project from on James Jackson Parkway from MLK Drive. But again, that's watershed has 31 manholes and 49 water valves that are in conflict with the project. And, you know, finally, I apologize, I've got my notes the wrong way around.
No worries.
So, and the last one was related to Piedmont Road. That's the smallest of the, sorry, that's not the smallest of the projects, but this is on Piedmont Road from SR 141 Peachtree Road, and we'll be relocating 25 manholes and 39 water valves.
Questions, comments? Motion. We have a motion to approve and a proper second. Please prepare the vote.
Vote is closed for favorable.
Thank you. All right. Next item on the agenda are comments from the public. Do we have anyone signed up? We have one person signed up, Brother Muhammad. Brother Muhammad? All right. Seeing as he is not here, that is all of the business. If there's nothing else, then we are adjourned. Thank you.